This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's Mike Shope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I choose? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
I was just a fan right now on that Liverpool goal. I was such an Everton fan right there. Everton, arm's length, not that into it, but they've come to life a little bit. Here's their last game against Liverpool in their stadium. Rivalry goes back to the 1890s, and, you know, the stadium's in Liverpool, right? This is big. So I'm into it, and Mo Salah just scores for Liverpool in the 72nd minute or so to give them the lead, and I'm like, a couple of lucky bounces there. Any person not on Everton is just like, he's amazing, right. And I'm over here going, oh, lucky.
Puts himself in the right place constantly, right? Going to get the goal. Yeah,
like somebody would do with Ovechkin or something, you know, just a Pittsburgh fan with Ovechkin. Oh, how does this guy always get the bounce? Well, he scored 850 goals. I mean, maybe it's more than just bounces. We'll see if we can get a bounce of our own here. Tie it back up. Chris Trapasso joined us maybe even two seasons. I know last year for sure, every week talking about the draft.
2 years now,
And we've enjoyed that very much. We've learned a lot, and here we go again. Thank you, Chris, for giving us your time.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. This is an exciting time of the year because it's like right when you feel like, oh, man, the NFL season's over. Like, there's no more football. In fact, there's actually a lot of football to be watched. We have the Combine in a couple weeks, and I'm very grateful to have this opportunity to talk to you guys every week.
Well, we really appreciate that heading in here to year three of previewing the draft on a regular basis with you, Chris. We've spent the first hour of our show talking about James Cook, and a part of the conversation is the running back rich draft that appears to be presenting itself here coming up in at the end of April, and you know what to do and how to proceed. How rich and how much variety is there within this running back class?
There's a lot. So we're going to hear so much about Ashton Jeanty, and that will be justified. He's going to be a first-round pick, and I'm usually, or I guess I have been, an advocate of never pick a running back in the first round. But we've seen, and I understand the game evolves. You have to kind of continue to update your draft philosophies. That, yeah, a 22, 23-year-old running back up to 25, 26 can be very impactful on a team if he can make guys miss, if he can hit home runs, and Jeanty can do that. But as I've gone through the rest of the running back class, there is as much of a collection of those type of players that I can remember. Maybe going back 2017, which was such a tremendous running back class, there was probably more top-end talent in that draft class. That was Joe Mixon, Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette was in that class. But second, third, fourth rounders, and we'll ultimately be able to kind of slide these players into specific round ranges post-combine. But it is a very deep running back class where a few weeks ago, if you would have had me on, I would have said, hey, look, you know, if a team wants Ashton Jeanty, pick him in the first round, I'm fine with it. But as I really this week finished up most of like the top 10 to 12 running backs, I'm like, man, I like him. I like this guy. I like that guy. There's so many where I'm like, maybe I kind of stick with my original opinion of just wait beyond round one to pick a running back. And if the blocking is good, you can get quality production from your ground game from a bunch of backs in this class.
I am curious, before we do more here, about your thoughts on Jeanty and just like his comps. Is he better than Bijan? I've read that. Other people disagree. I read how he was not a, like a top high school product or prospect, partly because he was playing high school football in Italy on naval bases. Like, he was not in a, you know, a established program, really, and then he got to the point where in year three at Boise, he was, like, record stuff. How high is too high for Jeanty, and is there a team that you like him for?
Well, I think the Dallas Cowboys just seem obvious. I think they pick 12, and I will say, by about late March, I'll have, like, the draft order memorized. I don't have it memorized yet. The Cowboys would make sense. Just seems like a Jerry Jones type of decision. They were running out there, Rico Dowdle this past season. They have a clear need at that feature back spot. Their offensive line kind of needs some work, but it's not like it's a terrible unit. Tyler Guyton, their first rounder last year, had an okay rookie season at tackle. They have Tyler Smith at guard, who's one of the better young guards in football. So I think that's probably as high as I think what seems conceivable for him, because we are certainly coming off this running back renaissance season with Derrick Henry, even Josh Jacobs, obviously Saquon Barkley, where teams are maybe saying, hey, maybe there is some value at the running back spot, which is kind of why I'm saying that I'm not totally entrenched with never picking a running back. But I think somewhere top 15 for Ashton Jeanty, not quite Bijan, not quite Saquon Barkley, but he does have, to me, the best contact balance of any running back I've ever scouted. He's a little smaller, not crazy elusive, but it can sometimes take 4 and 5 and 6 defenders to bring him to the turf.
Yeah, I'm glad you referenced the running back renaissance point, Chris, because this class of running backs is coming along at a very interesting time for the league, with that having happened, right? Because I think it feels like it could cut both ways. On one hand, if there's all this talent, maybe teams and they're watching Josh Jacobs and Barkley and Jeanty and thinking, like, I want to get the best guy I can get, so I'm going to draft him in the first round and have him for 4 years on a rookie contract, fifth year option, whatever, we'll see, and then deal with it, you know, when the smoke clears. On the other hand, if it's so deep, you can wait, pay less in premium assets, and then ultimately in contract too, but then you don't have the fifth year option hanging there. I wonder how that's all going to play out. And like, mixed into that stew for us here in Buffalo is James Cook and him posting on Instagram last night, $15 million. Like, holy cow, what are we going to do? So there's a lot of moving parts, it feels like.
Yeah, to me, what I'm taking from it is, and all those points were good, what I'm taking from what I think, how I think the league will react and should react to what we saw at the running back position in this 2024 season, is that, I mean, there are certainly some guys that are not making the right decisions in NFL front offices, but in general, I think the league has gotten smarter with analytics and understanding how and where we should place the importance of the running back position and the run game in general. To me, what I'm taking from it is, yeah, if you get a really highly talented running back like Saquon Barkley behind the best offensive line in the NFL, or Derrick Henry, a high-caliber offensive line in Baltimore, then yes, you can get high-level production. I think back to a few drafts ago, or I guess 3 or 4 now, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne. We all talked about, hey, you know, the Travis Etienne to Buffalo rumors in that draft cycle. But that was, like, obvious that those running backs themselves were not going to just transcend and totally transform those two teams' run games, because they didn't really have good offensive lines. They've been okay. They've had flashes, but haven't really lived up to the first-round hype. I think teams that already have established units up front or feel really good about their free agent signings or their year two or year three blockers, then, yeah, they'll probably prioritize an Ashton Jeanty or the two running backs from Ohio State, Quinshon Judkins, Travion Henderson. But I think in general, if teams are like, maybe we aren't going to be the best in terms of blocking for the run, then let's just wait on those running backs and hope that they can make defenders miss and make the most of what there is in front of them in terms of running lanes on every down.
We certainly have more things to get to draft-centric-wise, but do you want to weigh in on an opinion on the Bills and James Cook and like what makes sense moving forward?
I would not pay him $15 million a year. Now, that could be, you know, if we're projecting ahead one more season, everything's going up, there's inflation in the NFL too, that there are people that would be big defenders of signing James Cook to a long-term deal to, hey, you know what, $15 million for like an elite-level running back? I still wouldn't do that because to me, I think everything that I just said about the run blocking and how key that is, I think for as great of a breakout season as James Cook had, and I think that he ran with more power, the fumbling issue was totally gone. He can hit those long runs. He's kind of deceptively fast. That was the book on him coming out of Georgia. I don't know if he has that season if the Bills don't block as well as they did. He's not super elusive. You can look at the advanced statistics on that. Not a lot of forced missed tackles. And he's not a contact balance guy where he's going to absorb four and five hits. And, wow, how did he turn that, what should have been a negative yard gain, into a seven-yard gain like you see from the elite level back? So there's nothing against James Cook, and he deserves all the praise that he's getting. But if you're projecting forward, you're thinking about other veterans on the team, I just still would not pay a running back that much money. And again, like we're talking about, this running back class, I mean, again, it's not near the top of the priority list for the Bills, but they could pick another, you know, round four Ray Davis type, and suddenly with Davis, a rookie, and Ty Johnson, they could be totally fine and get fine production from their running game in 2025 and beyond for a lot cheaper.
Early-ish prediction, how many running backs go in round one? Over, under, 2.5?
I can only think, I mean, unless I'm totally blanking, I can only think of one.
Okay.
Under. I mean, if Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State, like, tests through the roof, and he could, that he could maybe sneak in there, but from just in terms of buzz right now, it feels like we're going to have one of those drafts where it's going to feel like every third pick in round two and round three is a running back. There's that many who are, you know, all different flavors and different skill sets and traits, obviously. But it feels like that's what the league understands. Like, that's still a premium pick, but that's where the real bulk of this running back class is on the second day of the draft.
Chris Trapasso, why do you hate Omarion Hampton and Caleb Johnson?
Okay, it kind of goes back to the same thought that I...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy, just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
I had about James Cook that Caleb Johnson, Omarion Hampton are both big running backs, like 6 foot, 225. Caleb Johnson, I think, was born to play with Kyle Shanahan, or now that coaching tree is so gigantic in the league. Stretch runs, inside zone, outside zone. The Bills certainly run a lot of that as well. I mean, every team does. In terms of making guys miss on a consistent level, that's not really his game. And I think that's the ultimate skill that you have to have at the running back position. Now, both of them can run over guys, and the contact balance is good, but we'll see at the combine. To me, I didn't see that either of those two had elite-level traits to ultimately go in the first round. Now, if one of them runs 4.38 and has a 40-inch vertical, you add that with their size, and then they have great contact balance, then we could be maybe talking about them in the late first or early second. But I always look for those guys who are really elusive, that can make that linebacker miss, that's unblocked in the hole. That, to me, is more important than anything else at that position.
Last thing for me on running backs, is there a Cook replacement you like the most, idea, Friday or Saturday?
Yeah, RJ Harvey from UCF. I'm kind of trying to dive deep and get super nerdy with my NFL draft comparisons this year. Like, I'm spending a lot of time on them. I think it just helps for these conversations, for when I'm writing, where people don't know these names. I almost went with Bucky Irving for him, but I ultimately went with Devin Singletary. He's that type of just laterally elusive. It's hard for me to say that. But he has juice down the field. He's going to give you more ability to hit a 40 or a 50-yard run. That was kind of the one glaring weakness on Devin Singletary's film. He's probably my favorite right now. And if you wanted a little more size, but still the same type of ability to hit those long runs, Jarquez Hunter from Auburn reminds me so much of Kyren Williams, who was a fifth-round pick but has become this touchdown machine in L.A. Great vision. The contact balance is awesome. He's really, like, effortlessly powerful. But if he gets to that second level without being touched, he can score on a 60-yard run. So those two, to me, a little bit different. R.J. Harvey's a little smaller, but those could be Cook replacements who would cost a fraction of the price and be younger with less mileage on their legs in a few years.
James Cook replacement. How dare you, Bulldog? I mean, February 12th, how dare you? Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports.
Job's got to be done, Mike.
Here on WGR. The Bills at 30. An overview here as we have our first conversation of the season, Chris. A couple of positions that might make sense for what they need, in your opinion, and who's available, as in which positions are sort of the deepest in round one.
Well, it kind of aligns for the Bills pretty well. I think you guys know, all your listeners know, and I certainly know this, that they need help in the trenches. And I think Sean McDermott wants that. Brandon Bean wants that, whether it's defensive tackle or defensive end. And it is a very good class at both of those positions. It's not just Abdul Carter. It's not just Mason Graham inside from Michigan. And to me, it's kind of ironic that it kind of aligns with that 2021 draft, where after an AFC title game loss to the Chiefs, where the Bills really couldn't get after Patrick Mahomes enough, they doubled down and went Greg Rousseau and then Carlos Basham in the first two rounds. And both of those drafts, we saw a bunch of defensive ends go in the first round in 2021. The Bills probably got one of the better ones late in that first round. And I think even if teams need those premium positions, there are enough that feel like they are going to be first-round caliber. And as always, this is combine pending. It's a really good edge rusher and interior defensive line class. So it will come down to the grades. It'll come down to, of course, what the Bills prioritize, and of course, what they do in free agency, filling some of those defensive needs in the trenches.
Do you have any thoughts on what my first draft crush? No, I shouldn't say that. There was a receiver at the Senior Bowl that I really liked from Oregon, Tez Johnson.
Johnson.
Yeah. Nick Amonwori, the big safety from South Carolina. Give us your broad strokes on him, because he, like, he reads a little like Kyle Hamilton, Derwin James to me, and like I'm intrigued by the idea of a guy like that on the back end of this defense.
Me too.
yeah, definitely. So my comparison for him is Jeremy Chinn. He's kind of in that Jeremy Chinn, Derwin James mold. 6'3", 220. He's probably going to be one of the biggest testers at the combine. So much talent on that South Carolina defense last year. It was like kind of weird. They kind of flew under the radar in the SEC, didn't make the college football playoff. But then you're watching these games back, and you're like, man, there's just really good players everywhere. He's that type. He can be that robber in the middle of the defense. He closes on the football like a corner. He hits like an outside linebacker. If he was there close to 30, I could see the Bills being like, this is our player that can really add a true dynamic game changer at the safety position. I think they like Taylor Rapp. Of course, Cole Bishop being a second rounder entering year two, I think they'll give him a chance. But Nick Emmanuel is someone that I wouldn't be surprised if we're looking at him like a Kyle Hamilton or a Derwin James type, because the traits are there. And it wasn't like he was lost in coverage or didn't know his assignment. He looks like an NFL-ready instant starter, instant impact starter at the safety spot.
The Bills have 2 second-round picks and no third. Mm-hmm. Are we going to be talking about the wide receivers in the second round for them, you think?
I hope so. I mean, so my draft crush, especially for the Bills, was Jack Besh, I guess still is, the TCU wide receiver who won Senior Bowl MVP. He reminds me so much of Puka Nacua. And what's funny is it's like when I've had to say that a few times on like other podcasts, people are like, whoa, Puka Nacua, easy. It's like, wait, this guy was a 5th-round pick who did not test well at the combine. No one would have scoffed at any comparison to Puka Nacua. That's probably my favorite idea for the Bills in round two. We'll see if he lasts that long, and certainly the combine will factor in with him. But to go like edge rusher and then defensive tackle, and then with that second pick in the second round to go wide receiver, to me that, at least right now, pre agency, seems like the best course of action for the Bills, because I still think they need a little bit of an upgrade in their wide receiver room.
Over under first round receivers, 3.5.
So let me think here. Tet McMillan, Arizona, is going to go. And I'm saying this like I absolutely am sure of it, but it's just kind of how it feels right now. He's going to be a first-round pick. Luther Burden from Missouri, most likely a first-round pick. Emeka Egbuka from Ohio State. I'm going to go over, because I think whether it's Jack Besh or someone else just tests into the first round. Mm-hmm. But after so many years of 5, 6, 7 receivers going in the first round. I think we had 7 last year, didn't we?
7 with Leggett.
7 with Leggett, yeah. And obviously that run late that the Bills stayed away from at the end of the first last year. I think just over 3.5, but we'll get to 4 wide receivers in the first round.
Overall, like, we'll talk a lot as we go through this until free agency gets here or Myles Garrett gets traded somewhere else. You know, if they make a big play for a big player like that, obviously you're using some of these assets. Where the Bills are picking usually isn't that enviable, but this year there seems like, and I think I've seen from you already on social media, Chris, that you have a lower number of first round grades on guys than usual, but the middle class here, like 20 to 60, 20 to 70, is maybe a lot of similar grades. So, like, I don't know, which way does that cut? Is that advantageous for the Bills? Because they're going to get 3 pretty comparable. If they use all those picks, their 30th and then the 2 second rounders, they might get 3 pretty comparable players. Is that good or bad?
No, I think it's good, but to kind of tie into the beginning of that question, like, I wonder if Brandon Bean, and certainly you would have to get the Cleveland Browns to feel the same, but if Brandon Bean could be like, hey, like, our pick 30, we're probably not going to get one of our quote-unquote first-round grades at 30s, and we don't really want to take someone that we have graded at, like, 45 at pick 30, so we would be more willing to part with that first-round pick this year, and we're expecting to be picking very late in the first round next year to get someone like Myles Garrett. My one thing that I'll say on this is that being a draft guy and, you know, of course, experiencing the drought, it's always, like, ingrained in my head, like, plan for the future, think about long-term, get as many picks as possible, trade back. But at this point, and I'm just not insinuating that, like, the Bills window is closed. It's not. As long as Josh Allen is on the roster, it's open. But Josh Allen is not like 22 where you're like, oh, just get as many picks for like now would be the time to make that maybe even kind of crazy signing where you're like, yeah, we overspent a little, but we got 30-year-old Myles Garrett with 28-year-old Josh Allen on this team right now. And, you know, we're all talking about the Eagles and how much money they have tied up in void years. It's almost $400 million on their roster that they're going to eventually have to pay over the next 4 or 5 years for guys who are not going to be on their team. But no one in Philadelphia cares right now because they actually won a Super Bowl. So that's kind of where I'm getting at, where I'm kind of going away from always thinking of the long-term future when it comes to this Bills team right now.
Good stuff. Last year, 10 of the first 37 picks were receivers, including Keon Coleman. One running back in the first two rounds, Jonathan Brooks, who was coming off an ACL tear and then tore another ACL in the season
for
Carolina. Very good, Chris. Looking forward already to our next chat.
All right, guys. Me too. Thanks a lot.
Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, giving us his draft insight between now and the end of April. Made me think of something there with that Eagles point that we talked about last year and the year before, the pressure to win and what it does to your decision-making or could do. 803-0550, if you have a draft thought, we're here for it. We're going to be for a while. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Mike Jannetty of SpotTrack coming up at 5. We'll talk about James Cook and money and other Bills decisions they're facing. This is WGR.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.